when you get up to speak in any situation, it is a smart idea to get your audience on your side straight away. Are you with me? The sermon will be finishing in 20 minutes' time. We didn't mean that sort of wonder and sign, Paul. But Peter doesn't seem to do that, does he? This is the reading, and by the way, we are now launching into the book of Acts. Paul has decided he would like to preach through as much of the book of Acts as he can cope with, or you can cope with. So you've done Mark's Gospel, and you've had the first chapter of Acts with the ascension story, remember? We had that. And then the praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. We missed the bit out at the end of chapter 1, which is like, oh, must need to replace Judas. Who could we get? Has to be someone who's been with us. Oh, what? Well, we'll get these two, and then we'll do it by lots. And so Matthias was chosen to replace Judas. Interesting story. And then we had the reading from 2 weeks ago, Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and this strange and amazing thing where the Holy Spirit comes, tongues of flame, people speak in languages that they don't know, but are languages of the people that they're speaking to. The people are from everywhere. You know that lot? Okay, so this reading today starts exactly straight after that. If you just look back in your Bible there. So Peter's just said, no, no, they're not drunk. Remember they said they must be drunk, they're sort of crazy. And Peter said, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. It's sort of like saying the pub's not open yet, you know? And he straight on launches into this preaching. And it's quite hardcore, isn't it? Now, here's the strange thing I've never really put together before, because when on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes and speaking in languages and tongues and so on, and then you have this wonderful sermon, don't you? And it's, you know, and it's God-centered, and then they're all repenting and being baptized, and 3,000, you think, isn't this the most wonderful day in the church's life? Isn't it just fantastic? And, you know, wouldn't it be nice if it was like that today and all that sort of thing? And it says this is a wonderful picture. But something really occurred to me last night. This story of Pentecost, remember, takes place 7 weeks after Passover, right? Are you with me here? So the same Jewish crowd, and we're talking about Jews, mostly Jews, but who are from Jerusalem and the area around what's now Israel, Palestine, and are there, but also because it was a festival that there were many Jews living in, you know, what's now Turkey, Libya, you know, around the Roman Empire, you know, out east, Arabia and so on. And remember, they came to, because earlier in chapter 2 it said, here we are from Arabia and from Rome and from Libya and we're hearing our languages, right? So there also Jews travel. Now there's only 7 weeks between those two festivals. Okay? So you work it out. If you've come from Libya or Rome in those days, you might have actually stayed on the 7 weeks for that next festival. Maybe. Certainly he speaks to the crowd as if they're the same crowd who crucified Jesus. In other words, who shouted, crucify him, crucify him. Doesn't he? That's how he speaks to them. So the 3,000 added were those people. That's stunning, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? Because isn't that the guys, they're the bad guys, aren't they? Guess what? They're the first Christians. The first Christians are the people who are in the crowd saying crucify. I never really put those two together so strongly before. I thought, that's an amazing statement of the grace of God, isn't it? The same people. But here's the point. When Peter speaks to them, he speaks to them about things that they've just experienced together, right? He says, look, this is what happened. You were there. You handed him over to be crucified. And he says, but this is what was going to happen. And look, we're witnesses that he's risen from the dead. And so everything is like really immediate to where that happened, to what's happening. And so they all know what Peter's talking about. So here's the important thing. Although Peter is very direct, right, doesn't pull any punches and says, you know, you crucified him, God has made him Messiah, he's also speaking a language they understand. By the way, Middle Eastern people in general, not just Jews, Arabs generally, actually go for direct speaking too. So culturally, he's right down the middle there. And by the way, in case you're thinking, well, Peter's up there saying they're all horrible people for crucifying Jesus, Remember who this is standing up preaching to them. You crucified him. Yeah, right, Peter. And you're the one who betrayed, who denied him. Right? Do you see what I mean? This is a situation of remarkable grace and a remarkable turnaround in the hearts of everyone there, the preacher as well as them. But my point is this. He spoke their language. Okay? He spoke about what they understood and knew and what they'd experienced. Even when he quotes, and you notice he quotes Psalm 16 that we heard Alison read. Even when he quotes Psalm 16, here's an interesting little thing. The Hebrew Bible, what the Old Testament, we call the Old Testament, Jewish scriptures, after the time of Alexander the Great, the whole known world starts speaking Greek, including the Roman Empire, okay, and out east as well as west. So the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew scriptures, were translated into Greek. So especially those people who travelled from any distance, they would have actually known their Hebrew Bible in Greek rather than Hebrew. And Peter quotes the verse, when you look at the quote and you compare it to the Hebrew and the Greek translation of the Hebrew, you go, he was quoting the Greek. Even when he was quoting the Bible, he was quoting the Bible that they would know better. Okay? Just like us, we think the English is the original, don't we, really? That's how much he's talking their language. You know the phrase, now you're talking my language. Yeah? Different people relate to you in a different way, don't they? By the way, there's another crazy thing Peter does, by the way, talking people's language. The Jewish culture up to then had been an incredibly male-dominated one. And it actually still is to this day. If you look at Orthodox Jewish culture, it's incredibly male-dominated, right? Notice it says, when Jesus feeds the 5,000, 5,000 men, not counting women and children, in the Gospels, like men, you count men. It says here 3,000 souls, as in suke, as in people. It's inclusive now. Your spirit be poured out on men and women. Shock, horror. And you get the feeling of this new community that talk about, that it's a very community, family, everything based. You don't get the impression of a male-dominated community at all. Although maybe in the public speaking, Peter still is. He certainly says, men, Israelites, you that are Israelites. But anyway. But talking their language. That is part of the point of the speaking in tongues, isn't it? Right? Speaking their language. They go, I'm from wherever, and I hear these people speaking the message in my language. It's amazing. And it's special because in a way, he didn't have to, because they all did speak Greek through the empire. That was the point, was that he could have actually got away with, they could have just got away with, you know, well, you all know this language. But no, in their own language. So it was like, I'm special. Something else occurred to me, though. You see, I just want to go sideways for half a minute. Please excuse me. Denn ich möchte der Franziska ein kleines, also etwas Kleines sagen für Franziska. Ich habe sie also diese Woche, also bei Many Music getroffen. Und sie spricht Deutsch natürlich, wie ich. Und Franziska, alles Gute, also für die Täufung, also von Tristan. Das kommt also sehr bald. Und wir sind jetzt sehr gute Freunde, alles Gute. Und also die Liebe Gottes für deine Familie, für deinen Mann, für deine Kinder. Alles Gute und du hörst das später. Ja. It's good. So that was just a sideways, a special message for Fran from Mani Music. Right? So I'll tell her later, say, Fran, listen to the sermon. We get a special greeting for you. Because Fran speaks German. And you notice I do a little bit too. Okay? Now, that's wonderful, because Fran will hear that and go, wow, cool. Or maybe a German person will hear that and go, my language. But think about this. When they spoke in tongues, they were not known to the disciples. I mean, it's a crazy story. I mean, to believe it's true, you'd have to really believe in miracles, right? But think about this. If I were to speak in tongues and someone said, and not know, you know, as some of you do in prayer languages, and not know what language it was, and someone came up to me and said, you're speaking my language. You see, it would be as much a surprise to me as to them. Do you see what I mean? So the shock of Pentecost was as much for the people who were speaking in the languages as for the ones hearing it. I hadn't thought of that before either. Do you see how inclusive this was? This really bound them all together. Wow. Whoa, I'm speaking your language. Now, I mention this about speaking your language because some people don't speak your language. And now is confession time. Who thinks that occasionally, just occasionally, that I speak too long? Yay! Well, I think I do. That's why I've got my hand up. Okay,
that's good. Oh, hooray, thank you. But all the rest of you still didn't subscribe to that honesty thing, aren't you?
Or fear repercussions or something. Okay.
Here's another. Now that it's broken the ice a bit, okay? So you're allowed to put your hand up for the next one too, okay? Who thinks that sometimes I get a bit abstract and a bit academic? Or jump from one topic to another too quickly?
Yes.
Some people are crying who are sort of not familiar with the background to that. Do you see what I mean? Now, what that means is at that time, thank you, that was very cathartic, wasn't it? Can you see what that means? At that time, I'm not speaking your language.
Does that make sense? I'm not sure. By the way,
now. Right? You really needed somebody else to speak to you. Or just needed to stop soon. Now, you see,
that's the same as the children, isn't it?
Right, I'm not scared. Or,
I want to see Jesus.
You see?
That's true, isn't it? Because I cannot be
all things to all people. I cannot be somebody else as well as me. I cannot have all the strengths, and no creature could. Which is why you all need each other. Right? My job is simply to point that out to you. That's all. And then you can get on and actually teach each other and teach each other by the Holy Spirit, and that's fine. Do you see my point? You need each other. But there's another thing. It's not just each other here in one fellowship. It's like, oh, I'm so relieved now. I thought it was just me. It's everyone else as well. But it's not just among ourselves. It's also when we go out. Imagine if the only communication of the love of God, the gospel of Jesus, the relationship with Jesus thing, imagine if the only communication of that beyond this fellowship was through this person. For a start, there's only a limited number of people each one of us knows. But even if I came in contact with some of the people you know, I would not speak their language. Do you see what I mean? And you, maybe, are the one who does. Okay? So we are all needed to teach each other within the body, if you like, and we are all needed to be the ones who are there, out there, being the hands and feet of Jesus, if you like, speaking, maybe, doing stuff, certainly, you know. Isn't that brilliant? And this is what you see in this chapter, isn't it? Because you see this community that's formed. And what speaks really powerfully to people is not just Peter's sermon. Do you notice what starts speaking powerfully to people as they look at that community, that whole community, and they go, whoa, there's something pretty amazing happening there. They have all things in common. People sell stuff to give to people in need. They break bread in their homes together. They pray together. They go to the temple together. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. And it involves everybody. It's exciting, isn't it? And I'm only 15 minutes in. You see? That's great. I think there's another page here somewhere. You know, to give you an idea of how even the writers of the New Testament see this, do any of you know John 3:16? But do you know 2 Peter 3:16? 2 Peter 3:16 is a hilarious verse where Peter says, you know, Paul writes letters and sometimes they're hard to understand. And you think, what? In the church they actually admitted? You know, like if you read Paul's letter to the Romans, it's heavy going. Oh, you too? Oh, phew, I thought it was just me, you know. But do you see what I mean? Even there, they understood that that's not everybody's thing. Isn't that great? So, I'm going to stop while I'm ahead. But I'm going to give us an opportunity just to respond to the message, myself included, and to just contemplate what that actually means, because it requires a response. I'm not just leading off lightly here. Because it does mean two or three things. Firstly, it means that it's a really important job, the working together in the community, just among ourselves. That actually becomes, because that's a very strong, powerful witness to those who are on the fringes of that will see it from the outside. Just on its own. So there may be something that you want to, I don't know, pray about or contemplate in that. There's also the fact that, oh, wait on, maybe for this morning it's actually hitting home to you of like, oh, I am actually needed. There are actually people I know that no one else knows. Maybe even that no other Christians know. Possible, isn't it? Possible. And not like heavy responsibility, but like, oh, it's my job. And I do speak their language. And you see, that will include your sensitivity to what how the conversation goes. Do you know what I mean? Because only you will know exactly. You'll know if it's good to push that or not. And you'll know the words to use. And above all, you'll be in relationship with them. So the message comes to them like it did to these people, out of relationship. As you pray, I want to... yesterday I just thought, do you remember the very first time I spoke here? Do you remember what I did at the end of the service? I actually invited people to the front, like an altar call. Okay? But it was like, just as a response, as a prayer response. So as you pray, feel free also to use the space here to pray. Doesn't mean you're more spiritual than anybody else, but you're comfortable right there. Just means that you'd like to use that space. Right, standing or whatever, and commit that to God. So let's just